Okay, so we're on Daf Kuf Tetvav tonight, 115A in Yevamot. So tonight's Daf Yomi is sponsored by Gabrielle and Gina Aronoff on the occasion of the birth of their granddaughter, Basheva Esther, to their son Oren in Eretz Yisrael. And we wish them much, Rabbi Oren, and we wish him and you and all much mazel and hatzlacha. Okay, so yesterday we were talking about, the topic is, if a woman comes and says that her husband has died, the general halacha is she believes. But we said in the Gemara that if it's a time of milchama, a time of war, then she's not believed. Because even though she comes in and says that the husband has died, we think that it's really just conjecture on her part, that she's saying so many people have died, how could he survive? So even though she says, yeah, he's dead, I saw him dead, he's really not dead. It's just that based on her conjecture, that's the issue. So the Gemara said, let's say we didn't know that there was war in a different region. Let's say she comes from a region, we were not aware that there was war in that region, and she says that there was war there, and my husband has died. So is she believed or not? So on the one hand, I have amigo. Amigo is if she wanted to lie, she could say a bigger lie. If she really wanted to lie, she could say, she wouldn't say anything about the war. She said my husband died and wouldn't mention this about the war, and then we would believe her. So the fact that on the one hand that she says she came from an area where there's a war, that lends credence to the belief that she's saying MS. On the other hand, we could say it's not an issue of lie versus not lie, because even the so-called lie, she really believes is truth. In other words, that she says he's dead, she really believes it's true. So it's not like a typical witness who comes and either lies or tells the truth. Even her so-called lie is something that she believes to be true, in which case the Amiga would have no application. So the Gemara is trying to be mevarer. What's the halakha of a woman comes from a place where we don't know anything about a war, and then she says it's a war, but he's dead. So line 3 on Kuf Tetvav Min Aleph, 115a, line 3, Tashma, Ishnu Alina Bayit, Ishnu Alina Ma'ara. Let's just see, she says, you know, they burned down our house, you know, and I thank God I escaped. Or Ishnu Alina Ma'ara, they burned down our cave, whatever. So who made Banini Salti? She says, my husband is dead, and I was saved. Ain't in a minute. She's not believed. So we think that's pretty similar to what we're talking about. What difference whether she said there's a war in the area or she says the house burnt down? We didn't know about that. But it sounds like from the Bryce said that she's not believed. So the Gemara says, Shani Hatam, the two cases are distinguishable. The Amar law, the Gemara says, in that case, she doesn't really say that he's dead. She says, I left him there. I was able to escape through all the smoke. And she says, Mistama, he's dead. As opposed to in our, and so then we would say, just like you had a miracle, you were able to get out of that place. Maybe he, through a miracle, was able to escape as well. But in our case, she's saying that he's dead, which is a little bit of a different, you know, horse of a different color. So, so Tashma, so the Gemara brings a different proof. Naflu Alenu of Deik Bokavim. Let's say a woman comes in and says, the Goyim attacked us. Naflulina listim, bandits attacked us. Who mate? My husband is dead. Benin Salti. And I, the wife, was saved. Ne'emenet. There, the Tana Brisa says she's believed. So we think that this is like the same thing. She said, the Goyim attacked us. That's like a mini war. In other words, we didn't know about this mini war, but she comes and says, as a result of the mini war, my husband died and I'm alive. And so she's believed. So that would seem to lend proof that we believe the Migo. So the Gemara says, no, that's also distinguishable. Hatam Kizrav Edi, because over there, in other words, the issue is, if she's saying it from conjecture or is she saying that she saw him dead, even though she says she saw him dead, is it conjecture? So the Gemara is saying that a woman wouldn't leave and base it on conjecture in that case. He says, why? He says, Hatam Kizrav Edi, like Rav Edi says, the Amar Rav Edi, Isha Klei Zayna Aleha, like a woman, her weapons are on her, means that the woman is not afraid that the listim and the goyim are going to kill her, because she figures that they want her for, you know, for sex. So therefore she would not leave her husband, you know, and then just make an umdina that he's dead. So in a situation like that, we think she would stay with him. And then if she says he's dead, then he's dead. But that still doesn't help us with our situation. So the bottom line is, the Gemara is not able to resolve this issue, and it comes out to be about folks that we've shown him how we would act. And they quote over here, they mention that, this is in footnote 11, they say that according to the Rambam, we don't permit her to remarry. But if she did remarry, we don't force her husband to divorce her. And then she comes and says, you know, we didn't know there was a war. She says there was a war, but he's dead. So we don't let her remarry. But if she does remarry, we don't make her get divorced. But according to the Rush, since it's unresolved, she stays in her status quo ante, and she has to be divorced. Okay? Let me just do a few more lines, and I'll pause. The Gemara says, Hahu Gavra, Mishilai Hilulai. There was a certain man, Mishilai Hilulai means at the end of his marriage celebrations. So I don't know if it means the 7 days. I'm going to say the 7 days of celebration, like the Sheva Brachot, at the end of the 7 days, Ibli Nura Beganani. A fire took place, Beganani, in his the bridal home, into the house of where they were celebrating. So Amr Luhud Bithu, so his wife says to the people, Chazu Gavrai, Chazu Gavrai. See my husband who's burning in the fire. Atu Chazu Gavra Chavruka Dishadi. So they came and they saw like a corpse that was charred. And they saw a severed arm that was thrown there as well. So Savar of Kibar Adam Maimar, Hainu Ishnu Alenu Bayit, Ishnu Alenu Ma'ara. So Rafia thought that's like the case we had on line three, that the woman comes and she says that, you know, they burnt us out of our house and home, and I was able to escape. My husband, Mistam, is dead, or my husband is dead. So we figured that she's doing it based on conjecture, and we don't believe her in order to permit her to be remarried. So too, in this case also, he thought that it would be the comparable pace, that the house burned down, and she says, my husband's dead. So he says, Amar Rava Midami. So Rava says, are the two cases really comparable? Hatam lo ka'amra chazuk gavroi chazuk gavroi. In the earlier case, she never said, look, see my husband there who's burning in the fire. She just said, I left the fire, he's dead, you know. And then in addition to which, ba'od, in addition to which, we have a dead body here and we have a severed hand. So here, it's more likely that the husband indeed is dead. And according to the way that Rafi Barabi wanted to say, we believe her. And let me just do a few lines and then I'll just want to get to the next piece and then I'll pause. He says, Rafi Barabi, Gabra Charocha Deshadia, Rafi Barabi. Now, again, Rabba said, it sounds like we would believe her. But Rafi Barabi, who said that initially that we wouldn't believe her, he thought it's like Ishnu Elena Bayit. Rafi Barabi, Gabra Charocha Deshadia, Amish Inachrina Atalat Suleva Achilte Nura. Rafi Barabin says the fact they see a charred body, that could be that somebody else came to save her, and that's who it is. Who pissed at the other Shadia Nura Italia. So and then the severed arm who also got burnt in the fire. Now the Gemara says though, as far as the husband, could be the husband. He was seriously maimed in the fire, and he ran off, and he's not around anymore. So he wanted to say that we don't believe her. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the basic idea is that all things being equal, if a woman comes and says, my husband is dead, so Chazal say that we believe her. We believe her because Isha Deko Minsava, that we assume that she would check up and be thorough before she would remarry, and we believe her testimony and accept it that the husband is dead. Then the Gemara brought up the issue, but if she comes from an area where there's war and she says, my husband's dead, then we don't believe her because we believe that she's likely just basing it on conjecture and that he's really maybe not dead. In other words, she says he's dead, but really in her mind, she's thinking so many people died, how could he have survived? And so she says she's dead, but it's really not that way. So we don't believe her in that case. Then we got into the issue of what if she says she comes from a place where we didn't know there's a war, and she says there's a war and he's dead. So do we believe her with the Migos? That was the question we got into, and we weren't able to resolve that, and we did what the Rishonim say. So according to the Rush, we make her get divorced under those circumstances. According to the Rambam, we don't give her a green light to remarry, but if she does remarry, we don't make her get divorced. And then we spoke about these other cases about, you know, Ishnu Elenu at Abayit, they burnt down the house, and, you know, what belief we give to her or not. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything they did before? What's up, Robert? Yeah, so it means like, I got it. Okay, here's the two. It means like this. Let's say we're in Eretz Israel. She says, I just came back from France, there was, and my husband died in France. So we would believe her. If she, that's, she doesn't have to prove anything. Because my husband died in France, we assume that a woman wouldn't remarry unless she checks out the whole situation, and we'll believe her. But if, let's say, we know there's a war going on in France, and she said, my husband died, we wouldn't believe her. Because then we would assume that she probably didn't see the dead body. She probably is making conjecture, so we don't believe her. That's what the Gemara says. That's much worse. That's worse. But we're dealing with her statement that my husband's dead. And she may even say, I saw my husband dead. But what the question is, did she really see it, or is she just really... No, in other words, she's making the statement, you know, I saw my husband dead or whatever. But we're thinking that she didn't really see him dead. She's just making a conjecture that way, so we don't believe her. In other words, the best evidence would be two Adam who come and see her dead. We don't have that. So there's a special leniency the Chachamim introduced that we believe a woman, one witness, and it's a woman in a circumstance like this. Okay, what's up, Gabriel? No. There's no three witnesses. Usually two witnesses is enough to establish something. In this case, the Chachamim created a leniency to permit a woman, if one witness shows up, or if the woman herself shows up and says, my husband is dead, then we believe them. In other words, if she herself is ne'emanit, in other words, it's really not witnesses. It's an issue of ne'emanus. Okay, anybody in the cyber world have questions?
Yes, Rabbi, I have two questions. Number one, why is it that we're not coming and be choker de edim? She comes and says, my husband is dead. Ask her questions. Did you see him dead? So is it conjecture or otherwise?
No, she says, I saw him dead. And that's
okay,
it.
So you can, but you can right, follow then. Up with questions over there. Number
right,
two,
right,
maybe the man
right.
also covered the conjecture. How come for women we don't believe, but for a man we do believe? Maybe the guy's an idiot.
Well, I assume the Gemara is taking it like the, in other words, you want to say, let's say a person's a witness, let's say one witness comes, and maybe, so we'll see with the one witness the next sugya. We'll wait with the one witness. As far as cross examination, that's all I got. Okay, I got to move on. Okay, let's take a look back to the next line of the Gemara. Okay, so now the Gemara says, let's take a look. Okay, Ibai Lahu, we're halfway down the column on Kuftet Vavmanal, 115a. Now, let's say, again, one witness, just like the woman is believed, one witness is believed. But let's say one witness comes, and it comes from an area where there's the Molchama going on. So what's the halacha? So the reason I would believe one witness is because the truth eventually will come out. So a person doesn't want to lie in something that the truth is going to come out a week or two or a month later, and then I look like schmutz. So therefore, I would believe one witness. So if that's the case, so then he would be believed, say the person died in the war. Or maybe the reason we believe one witness, he says, it's based on the idea that one witness is going to come, but in addition to that, the woman herself will follow up and investigate before she remarries. So it's going to be one witness and the investigation of the woman. He says, Bahaka, and leave out the brackets, if you look, here's the Rashal is, Bahaka lo deko minseva, the amra v'didami. In other words, here, she's not going to be checking it out, but she's going to, like, through her conjecture, say, well, it's a war, you know, and all these people died, he died as well. So that's the question. So just like a woman wasn't believed when she comes from a war zone, would we believe one witness or not when it comes from a war zone? So Amarami Barakama Tashma. So Rabbi Hamra says, come with the following riot. Now this is from the last Mishnah, Masechet Yevamot. So a week from tonight, when we have this theme, Bli Neder, we'll do this Mishnah that night. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Sharad the Neher Dola, Be'er Hashana. Akiva says, when I went to Neher Da'a to intercalate the year, Rabbi Akiva was a god of the Torah, and he went to intercalate the year in Neher Da'a. It's a little unusual because it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, but I guess circumstances may have been persecution there. Matzadi Nechemya Ish Beit Dali, I encountered Nechemya Ish Beit Dali, this person from Beit Dali, but Amarli Shemati Shemasina Ish of Eretz Yisrael Apiyat Echad. He says, I heard that in Eretz Yisrael they don't permit a woman to remarry based on one witness. Elo Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, except for the Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, he permits it. The Namti Lo, and I, Rabbi Akiva, said to him, Kein Hadvarim, that's 100% correct. He says, Amarli Amor Lahem Yishmi. So he said to me, this Nechemya Ish Beit Ali, tell him in my name, Atem Yodim HaMedina Hazu Mishubesh B'Gayasot. He says, you know that this Medina where we are, there's like all these marauding troops. It's a very dangerous neighborhood. I have a Mesorah from Lila HaZakein, which would be, you know, Rabbi Gamliel lived during the time of the second base of Mikdash, that you could marry a woman based on one witness. So now the question is, what did he mean when he said, this is an area that's a lot of marauding troops around, and Rabbi Gamliel Zakein, my Mesorah is, he said you can marry based on one witness. My Medina Meshubesh B'Gayasot. What does it mean that the Medina has all these marauding troops around? Lav, Avogav, the Medina Zum Meshubeshet. Meaning, was he not saying that even though this Medina has got all these marauding troops around, it's like a dangerous place to be, to Masina Piyadachad? Was he not saying that his Mesorah from Gamliel is that even though it's an eight Melchama, you would believe one witness? That's what we think he's saying. So if that's what he's saying, then we have the answer to our question. Alma Eidachad Meheman. So then Eidachad is Neheman, even if he's coming from a war zone. Even if he's coming from a war zone. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Ihafi, if that would be what he had meant, he says, again, we're inside the Gemara, 10 lines to the bottom, please look in the Gemara. He says, Ihafi, Maishna Medina Zu, why would he say this Medina is a war zone? He says, Komakom Shishkai has told me by, like, he should have said that any locality where they have marauding troops, one that witnesses them on. Ela Amar Rava, rather, Rava says, Hasu Tamar, this is what he meant. Atem Yodim Shemedina Zu Meshubesh B'Gayasot, you know that this Medina, this district, this state, this area, is a lot of marauding troops. I mean, the marauding troops are like troops that are going to harm people. You know, not like, he says, "Below Ershali Lemishbach in Shebeite Umaiti Kami Rabbanan." So therefore, as a result of the situation here, I can't leave my family and go to Eretz Yisrael and tell them what I know. But Tachma Kumlani Rav Gamliel, but my Mesorah for Rav Gamliel is, that indeed a woman can marry based on one witness, but he wasn't addressing anything about a war zone. So the question is still unresolved. Okay, let's just summarize for a minute and then we'll go on. So the question on the table is, so a woman, if she comes from a war zone, she's not Neheman because we think she's just going to be making a statement from conjecture, even though she'll present it as fact. But the question is, what if one witness comes from a war zone and he says, I saw Reuven, he was dead. So do we believe him? Do we say that, well, since a woman is going to, obviously, we assume she'll check up before she remarries, so that'll act like a sort of like safety, or not, I didn't say right. It says, do we say the Milta David Leguye, that since the truth is ultimately going to come out, so that will act as a chilling effect on him not to lie, because nobody wants to lie and be caught in a lie, or do you say it's because that we're relying on the fact that the woman will be thorough and check it up before she remarries? But here, the woman may not check up because she's a war zone, everybody's dead, and my husband didn't escape either. That's what we think. So we still don't know the answer to this question. We tried to bring proof from the Mishnah later on, but we were not successful with that. Okay, who's had questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, so on Kuf Tet Vav Amud Aleph, we're at the last narrow line on Kuf Tet Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, Tashma. So we're trying to bring another proof to what would be the din if one witness comes from a war zone, would he be believed? So Tashma, Masa B'Shnei Tamid HaChachamim, Shubayin Abba Yossi Ben Simai B'Sfina. It was an incident with two Tamid HaChachamim who were traveling with Abba Yossi Ben Simai in a boat, B'Tava, the boat sank. V'Hisi Rebbe Nishotein Al Pi Nashim. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, permitted their wives to remarry based on the statement of women. He says, V'Hamayim Kimal Chama Danu. Now, when the boat sinks, that's like a melchama. In other words, like everybody's dying, and it's likely that people conjecture, everybody was dead, he was also dead. In other words, that's a roughly similar situation to like the war zone situation. But Hashem, and as far as women are concerned, I feel mayaka edakadam. So women can't give edas. So whether it's one woman or 100 women, that's like one aid, and it's like one witness. In other words, it's like one person, one man. He says, in other words, just like a man has namanas, so the women have namanas, but it doesn't make a difference, 2, 3, 4, 5, they have namanas. They don't rise to the level of Aegis. He says, V'katani hisi, and that we learn that Rebbe permitted the widows to remarry. So that l'chora is a proof that we would permit one, we rely on one witness, even they're coming from a war zone. That lechora is the proof. So the Gemara says, "V'tishbara, did you think that that's really the pshat in the braisa this way? It's mayim shein, that can't be. Mayim shein lehem sofnenu. In other words, how could they testify that we saw the boat go down and therefore they drowned? That would be the testimony. How could we rely on such a testimony? It's mayim shein lehem sofnenu. So we haven't come to this thing yet, but the Gemara is going to say that if I see somebody drown in the water, but from my vantage point, I can't see the shoreline in all four directions, so then I can't rely on that testimony because it could be he somehow escaped and ended up on land, and it's beyond my, you know, where I could see it. So if a boat goes down, it's like my, if a boat goes down on the open ocean, that's like my shein lahem sof. In other words, you can't see all four corners, all four shores where this boat went down. So the testimony wouldn't be believed. My shein lahem sof, yishto asura. So the women would be prohibited on those circumstances. Elahechidami, so what indeed was the fact situation that took place in the Braisa? The Amri askinu kaman, that the women said that they pulled the bodies out of the water before us. We saw the dead body. They're saying specifically, they pulled the bodies out of the water, the dead bodies, turn page on the top line on Kuftep Amaveis. Top line Kuftep Amaveis. He says, V'chazinu la'altar. We saw the bodies immediately before they got bloated and distorted. V'ka'amri simanim, and they say that we saw simanim. Now, the simanim that they say is two types of simanim. You can have simanim beinonim and simanim muvhakim. Simanim beinonim is means like an average type of siman. In other words, like, you know, I saw mole, you know, maybe, I don't know, he was tanned or something like that. And then a siman muvhak is, I saw, let's say, a scar on his right finger that went from his nail to his knuckle. You know, something like that. That would be a siman muvhak, like an expert siman. So there's a question in the Gemara, which way, which is d'oraisa, which is d'rabbanan. But in this case, we're going to say they saw a siman muvhak. So the women are coming and saying, we saw the dead bodies, and we saw the siman muvhak on the bodies that identifies these bodies as Reuben and Shimon. So he says here, the lav alayu samchinan, we're not really relying on their testimony that we saw the person dead, ela asimanim, we're relying on the simanim. So if that's the case, it's not probative of the question that we're trying to resolve, but it's just telling us what the fact pattern was over there. Okay, everybody good so far?
Well, the thing with you, if both were dead, then they
yeah. All right. Okay. Your logic isn't the Torah's logic. That's the answer. But we'll see later on in the Gemara. In other words, the Gemara is saying, in other words, even though maybe there's a remote chance of survival, but we have to see the sugya later on. In other words, the Gemara is taking it that even, let's say I'm standing on shore and I see the boat go down. Let's say I'm from, let's say 2,000 feet away. I see the boat go down. But even if I see the boat go down, but it could be that somebody somehow got away outside my vision. That's what the Gemara is concerned about. Or that's what the Gemara takes it. We'll see it later on in the sugyas. If you stay with Daf Yomi, it's coming up in a few days. Must be about Mayim Shalem Sof. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts? Anybody? What's up, Arthur? Aaron Moshe? Okay, everybody good?
All right.
Okay, you want to say something or not? Aaron Moshe? I can't hear you. Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, the second line. Now, Ahu Gavra, the Afkid Shumshme Gabe Chavre. There was a certain man, he left sesame seeds with his friend. It was Reuven leaves, let's say, 5 pounds of sesame with Shimon. He says, Amarle, Havli Shumshme. And then after a while, Reuven says, I want my, in other words, give me my sesame seeds back. You're the shomer. So Amarle, Shakiltinu. He says, you already picked it up. I gave it back to you. So Reuven says to him, Vachem Vachem Havien, but it was, you know, 5 pounds of sesame. And you put it in that, you know, this jug that's over in your property, and it's still there. So Amarle, so Shimon says back to him, Tidak Shakaltinu, you picked up your sesame seeds, Bahani Achrinanu, and the seeds that are there now are some other seeds, not your seeds, different seeds. So the Gemara brings this incident. The Gemara is going to try to link it up with the incident we just spoke about with the boat going down. Savar Abtistal Maymar, so Abtistal wanted to say, that's the analogous case with the two Talmid Chachamim. In other words, two Talmid Chachamim go down, and then with the Simanim, now he, Rav Chisda, thinks that it wasn't a Siman Muvak. He thinks it's a Siman Beinoni in the previous Sugya. So he figures the two Tamid Chachamim went down, and we don't know what's doing, and the women come, and they testify a certain Siman, and we say that to them. He says, below Amrinan Hanach Azul Da'alma of Hani Achrinan. In other words, that we don't say these are, that their husbands floated off somewhere and these are other bodies, but with the Siman Beinoni, he's thinking that we say that those are them. So here too, he says, I left you 5 pounds of sesame. I left it in that chavit, which is in your rishus. And Mimela, if a Siman Beinoni is good to identify, you know, the deceased husbands, a Siman Beinoni should be good to identify the sesame seeds. That's the idea. So Amalei Rava, so Rava said to Rav Chista, Mindami, how can you compare the two cases? Hatam, so again, Rav Chista wants to say the two cases are analogous. And that being the case, the plaintiff wins the case. So Amalei Rava, Rava says, Mindami, how can you compare the two cases? Hatam ka'amri simanim, it means there they gave simanim muvhakim. Siman muvhak is, let's say you say there's like a neka b'tzad ot ploni. You have a document, there's a hole near the resh in the document. That's a siman muvhak. And same thing with the simanim of the people who died. There was siman muvhak. Hacha shumshimei mai simana itlahu. What siman do you have with the sesame seeds? Utkamar came to Kain Havyan, and the fact that he says, let's say there were 5 pounds of sesame, that's the alleged siman, emar chushna trami. I could say it worked out that was the cheshbon. He left 5 pounds, and now there's still 5 pounds there. So Mela, he hasn't proved his case. He hasn't proved his case adequately, and Reuven loses the case. That's the way Rava wants to say. So Amalei Mar Kashisha bar Rav Chista the Ravashi. So now Mar Kashisha, the son of Rav Chista, is the Ravashi. Now Mar Kashisha, it sounds like he's living afterwards. He's attacking Rava. So Rava says that Reuven lost the case. He says Umicha Shinan Shemapinan. In other words, so what would be the chashash? In other words, you would think that maybe Shimon emptied out the container, and now this. In other words, his taina is that there's other sesame seeds there now. Are we really choshesh that took place? Is that really a concern? Batanan, learn the Mishnah Masechet Maaser Sheni, Matzah Kli v'Chitul Lav Kuf. If you found a keli, a vessel, and on the outside of the keli is the letter Kuf, Korban, then you're entitled to assume that what's inside Korban can be a sacrifice, but Korban can be Hekdesh. In other words, you're entitled to assume that what's in the Kli is Hekdesh. Or that's what you should assume. Mem, Maiser. Hello. So we're on line 10 on page 230 on Kuftet Vavon Beis. Welcome, Ellie. He says, Mem, if you see a Mem on the Kli, then it's reasonable to assume that it's Maaser Sheni. He says, Dalit, Dimua. If it's a Dalit, it's meduma. It means like kulin and masrot are mixed up together. Tet, tevo. If it's a tet, it's untied produce. Tuf, truma. And if it's a tuf there, then it's reasonable to assume that truma is in the keli. He says, shibashara sakana yukofin tuf taka truma. Because time of sakana, that's what they would use. Instead of writing out truma, it was like the Romans maybe are persecuting them, so they don't want to write truma. They just write a tuf. And that's for truma. So Mamela, the idea is that if I find a keli and it has those letters on it, I assume that it hasn't been emptied and now something else is in there. I assume that what was there initially is there now. So that would support, like the plaintiff's side, that would support Rav Chista, that I have the chavit is filled up with sesame seeds, and so probably it's the same sesame seeds as before. Amalei Ravina the Ravashi. So Ravina said to Ravashi, "V'lo kashin shemapinan," meaning you're not afraid that the vessel was emptied out. Ema seifa. Let's go to the seifa of that same Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer, "Afilu matzah chavit v'katuva le'truma." The Tan Rabbi Yossi says, even if you found a jug and it says truma written out on it, hare elu chulin. He says it's chulin inside. Why? Shani Omer ishtakad havamale truma. Because I say that last year it was filled with truma. He says upina, and then the person emptied it out, now there's something else that's there. So what's the hesber here? So am I afraid people emptying out or not? So the emes is that both Tanaim are concerned that the person may have emptied out the contents of the keli from what it was with the original contents. The machloket Tanaim is as follows. Mar savar im itz pinah umichbar habakapar. The first Tana holds, if he had indeed emptied it out, he would have erased the writing on the outside of the keli. So in other words, he's saying people empty vessels out all the time. And there's no reason for me to assume that the contents of the vessel now are the same contents that were there before. But the fact that they have the kuf, the top, whatever, that's written on the outside of the keli, that lends credence to the idea that it's the same object that's in there now, because otherwise he would have, you know, crossed it out or written something else on the outside. The Irach, the other Tana holds, Amar Ishtalu Yishtali. The other one says, no, he may have forgotten. Inami Lepanchi Yishavke. Or maybe he intentionally left the Truma writing on the outside of the Keli as a way for security. In other words, he figures nobody's going to touch something that says Truma. They'll touch something that's got Kulin in it. So this way, I'll ensure, you know, that the thing is where it is. But the bottom line is that everybody is bottom line, all things being equal, I would be afraid that a person had emptied out the vessel. So it comes out that with the two, you know, Balabatim, Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven left the sesame with Shimon, and Shimon says, I gave it back to you. And he says, but look, I left you 5 pounds of sesame. It's in that jug that you have. And even though there's sesame in there now, I don't necessarily assume that it's his sesame, because he may have taken it out. And in Achinami, the fact that he says that there were 5 pounds, it's not an adequate siman to establish that it's his sesame seeds. Whereas with the two people who drowned, it was a siman muvak. Siman muvak, like he had a scar going from the nail to the knuckle, that's a siman muvak. And we know Reuven had a scar like that. And they said, we saw the scar. So that's what establishes that. Okay, who's had questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? What's up? What's up? Let me hear.
I just like hear your voice saying it's mixing kasha mitman, because in the case with the women, this determines whether or not they can remarry, and the other is just DNA mamano, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You're right. One is DNA. It's true that, yeah, but it's the other way around. In other words, if it's something is true for, in other words, if it's true for Isur, it should certainly be true for Dina Mamono, if it would be true. But the distinguishable, because it was the case of Isur, so you want to say that even though we had a Simon Muvhak by Isur Veheter, but that the emes is, though, that in other words, it depends what the Din D'oraisa is. If the Din D'oraisa is you need a Simon Muvhak, so that's what he's really saying, that in other words, the same Simon that exists for Isur Veheter would be for Dina Mamono. I need a Simon Muvhak in order to establish the case. That's really what it's saying. I need a Simon Muvhak. I don't have a Simon Muvhak here, so the plaintiff loses. Okay?
So it's like, all right, the burden is similar.
Say again, I can't hear you. Wait, I can't hear you so clearly. Go ahead.
So what you're saying is that the burden of proof is similar in both cases, of Sir and of Mamona.
Right, that's correct. That's correct. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's move on. Now, we're at the two dots on Kuf Tet Vav and Beis. We'll go slower now because we have a little more time. Okay, Yitzchak Reish Galuta, Yitzchak, who is the Reish Galuta. The Reish Galuta is head of the community in Babel. Bar Achid Rabibi, he was the nephew of Rabibi. Habaka Azim Kortiba Laspamia. He was traveling from Kortiba to Aspamia. And I must say, Aspamia, I don't know, I don't have, you have the Steinfeld there. Maybe you'll tell me what he says. Aspamia, they usually translate as Spain, but I don't know, that's pretty far away, but maybe. Okay, I just heard. All right, either way, the Steinzel says it means Spain or a province in Spain. But anyway, so he says he was traveling from Cordoba. Did he say where Cordoba is? Cordoba. Okay, we got it. Anyway, so he says it's the two cities in Spain, is the way Steinzel says. I don't know. But he says he was traveling from Cordoba Laspamia to Shachiv, and he died. He says, Shalchu mihatam. So they get a message from there. I assume, he says, Reish Galuta. He's in Babel. So a message comes from Babel, from Ispamia, from Spain to Babel. It says, Yitzchak Reish Galuta bar Achid Rabibi, habakazim in Cordoba Laspamia to Shachiv. So he says, Yitzchak, the Reish Galuta, the nephew Rabibi, was traveling from Cordoba Laspamia and is gestorben geboren, meaning he's dead. He died. So the Gemara says, Michai Shin Tre Yitzchak Olo. Do we have to be concerned? We get this message. Do we have to be concerned that maybe there's another person whose name is Yitzchak, and he's the one who died? In other words, we have we have Yitzchak Bar Achi Rabibi. In other words, maybe it's the same person or a person with the same name, and that he also died. That's the issue. So he says, "Mi chashin to pray Yitzchak alo." So Abaye Mar Chashin. Abaye says, "Taka, yeah, we would be concerned for something like that, and presumably he left a widow behind. And the issue is, can we let the widow remarry based on this message which is coming to us from Spain?" Rabbi Amar lo chashin, and Rabbi says, we're not going to be choshesh for that. So Amar Abaye, Menaminala. So Abaye says, how do I know that I have to be choshesh? Maybe there's two people with the same name. He says, Dahu Gita Dishtakach ben Eredoa. There was a get that was found in Eredoa. Luchtiv, it's not Klon Yamata, Ana Andrew Linoi, and there's different Gersaos here. He says on the side of the city of Polonia, he says, I, Andrew Linai, Neherda. He's the husband's name. I, Andrew Linai, from Neherda. Katari to Taraki, the Polonian entity. I divorced my wife, whatever her name is. Mishalcha, and now. Now it means like this. So the woman, so we found this get, and the woman shows up and says, I lost the get. I'm the woman. That's my get. Give it back to me. And the question is, do we give her the get, and she can use this get to collect the ksuba? That's the question. So Abaye is trying to bring a proof that we're choshesh for two people with the same name. The shalcha avu de Shmuel l'kami to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So the father of Shmuel sent a message to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, meaning, how do I handle this case? The shalach lay, and then Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya sent back to him, and there was avu de Shmuel's in Babel, And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is in Eretz Israel. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi sent back to them, Tibadek Neherda Kula. Check the entire Neherda and see, are there other people, you know, is there another, you know, woman with this name married to somebody with that name? And then, in other words, be thorough about it. In other words, don't just assume, you know, like this way. So the fact that he says, check all of Neherda, and this was a get that was found in Neherda, sounds like I always have to be concerned where I don't have, you know, the chain of title, that maybe there's two people with the same name, and I have to be concerned about that. So just like I'd be concerned there, so lechora I'd be concerned with this message that came from Espamia concerning, you know, Yitzhak Reish Galuta Bar Achdi Rabibi. So Rav Amar im Ita Yibadei Kulon Mivarlei. So Rav says, look, if that's a concern for two people with the same name, so you shouldn't stop the search in Neherda. In other words, the person could have been in Neherda when he issued the get, and then maybe he's moved on from Neherda. So you'd have to check the whole world. It should be the if that indeed is a concern. So if that's the case, so why did Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya say just check Neherda? So the way the rabbi wants to say, it really was not a concern at all. But Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was concerned for the kavod of Avu de Shmuel. Shmuel's father sent him the question. So he didn't want the father of Shmuel to feel badly, like as if he doesn't know what he's talking about, that he sent a question like this, and he says, no, it's fine. So he says, you know what, check all the people in Neherda, like to sort of, you know, to be mechazek him. But really, Rabbi says, it's not really a concern. In other words, so the Gemara says, so that's the way he explains that case. So Rabbi says, how do I know I don't have to be concerned about two people with the same name married to two women with the same name? He says, there were two shtarei chov, IOU notes, that went out, were issued in Mechuzah, which is a city in Babel. And each shtar chov said, Chavai bar Nanoi, v'Nanoi bar Chavai. In other words, a common name. One said that it's that the lender is Chavai bar Nanai. The other one said the lender is Nanai bar Chavai. But Agbi b'hu Rabba bar Abu Azuzai. And Rabba Ravua, he gave it full credence, and you know he let the holders of the notes collect the debt, and he wasn't concerned to, you know, to verify is it this person, that person, the other person. He says, "V'ha'chave bar nanai, v'nanai bar chavai, v'mechuzah shki ketubah." The Gemara says, "Chavai bar nanai, anai bar chavai." In mechuzah, there's a lot of people in mechuzah with those names. He says, "So v'meila, and let's see from Rashi, the last Rashi, shki ketubah, v'afilu haki magbinan shmotzi shtarfo v'alachirim." nevertheless, we give it full faith and credit when the person produces the document. We're not afraid that maybe it was like somebody else. All right, now, so how will Abaye, now Abaye says that you do have to be choshesh for people with the same name. So Abaye says, l'may nechushla, what would I be concerned about? Elin afila, if the concern is that the lender had dropped it, he says, mizhar zahirba, a lender is going to be very careful with his shtar. I mean, I don't know, I guess it sounds like lenders are very careful with the shtar. I guess you could say he's careful with it, and the likelihood that he ended up with somebody with the same name is kind of remote. Either Pikadon, or let's say the other thing is maybe he possesses it because it was left in his trust to guard it. He says, but it's not really his. Came into Shmei Kishmei Lomifkid Gabe. Like a person, if a person's name is Chavai Barnanai, he wouldn't give it to somebody named Chavai Barnanai to be the shomer. It's like too dangerous. He says, My Amri Dima Masarle, maybe let's say he transferred title over to somebody else. He says, in Dima Masarle, so Otio Nikno Pemasira. But when it comes to Shtar, so that he holds that Otio Nikno Pemasira, the mere fact of giving it over, you know, to somebody, that itself is a kinyan. So it's not a concern. Okay. Now, who's a question that comes to us on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. Wait. All right. What's up? Yeah, Ali, what's up? OTO means letters, but it means like a star is what it means. It's like short term, whatever. Say again, what? OTO, but now, Lach L'maisa? I don't know. I'm not sure. It's Machloka and the Gemara. Now, all right. Let me just see here a story. And here's a story. And here's a story. Gee, I wish I had gone through this ahead of time. Maybe I'll try to do it right now with you. Let me take a look. One second. Yeah. So he asked, who was this Yitzchak Reish Galuta? Was he the Rosh HaGola? Like the Reish Galuta is usually the head of the community in Bavel. So who was this Yitzchak Reish Galuta? This is from the Al Hadaf sheets. So according to the Rashba, Yitzchak was the Rosh HaGola. But even though Rosh HaGola were people who were known and famous, nevertheless, when the Shmuel came concerning Yitzchak Rosh HaGola, there's room to doubt, maybe in a different place that we don't know about, there's also Rosh HaGola that's called Yitzchak, and he's the one who died on the Derek from court of Adas Pami. So we call him Yitzchak Reish Galuta, but maybe they got somebody in Spain or Morocco and they call him Yitzchak Reish Galuta. It's also Galus, and so that's what the concern is. Now, the Rush disagrees strongly with this in his Shuvas. He says, the term Reish Galuta, there's only one Reish Galuta. How could it be that they would be mistapek if he's the one who died or a different Reish Galuta? And secondly, he says, does the Reish Galuta just die on the derech? He says, in other words, does the Reish Galuta travel like a pauper, like without an entourage, without servants and things like that, who would be available to testify in his disappearance? So he says that this Yitzchak wasn't the Reish Gola, it's just a Kinui Ba'alma that is called Reish Galuta. In other words, he wants to say that this person who passed away wasn't really the Reish Galuta. In other words, they call him, that's just like an expression, they call him like chief or something like that, but not that he's really the Reish Galuta, because the Rush thinks it's unlikely the Reish Galuta would die without a whole entourage of people. It's not like, you know, anyway. Now, from the other Rishonim, it comes out that in this incident is Marumas, an important chapter in the Jewish history of Spain. Now, he quotes from the Sefer Itin Rabbi Yehuda HaBar Tzaloni. So he says, it's brought down the words of Shmuel HaNagid concerning a Shmuel that came from Bnei Sfarad, that they don't translate the Torah that was customary that way. He says, yeah, he says, so he says, like, Chalila, God forbid for the Spanish, for the people in Spain to follow that custom, not to translate it, like, they would usually lane and they have a targum. So if somebody's writing a letter, somebody says, I heard you're not translating, he says, Chasra Shalom, he says, we never left the targum out or anything else from the Tamei Talmud, that were Bafiyam Yitzchak Reish Galuta Bar Afti Rabibi, Shachib Isfarad being court to Belasfamia, that the Mesorah we have from Yitzchak Reish Galuta, who was the nephew Rabibi, who died in Sfarad in Spain between Cordoba and Espana. So it comes out that Espana is like you were saying before, Robert, Spain in English, like Espana. The Quinta Shmulanagid, where Shmulanagid was a leader of the Spanish Jewish community, the Kavana is that in Spain, and Cordova is right, Cordova. And Yitzchak Reish Galuta was one of the Gdolei Ador that went from Babel to Sfarad, and he established the Torah there in Spain during the time of the Moraim. So it's coming out differently according to this. So again, we had different pshatim what Yitzchak Reish Galuta means. Does it mean the Reish Galuta? But it's hard to imagine that it means Reish Galuta. It might mean just like the person has that expression that he calls himself that way. But now he's saying that there was somebody in the history of Spain who's called Yitzchak Reish Galuta, who is part of the Shashalat HaMasora over there. So he says here, based on this, so he quotes from Rav Shor. Wait. Give me 2 minutes and you reach Steinfeld, okay? He says, so he explains the question of the rush. Yeah, how could we choshesh for two Reish Galuta? And how could we, you know, be choshesh that somebody famous like this died? So the rush concludes, and we're talking about a plain person who was called Reish Galuta, just that kinui. But according to Rishul and Nagid, we understand it very well. This Yitzchak was the nephew Rabibi, who went to Galus from Babel Sfarad, and there he was appointed Reish Galuta, and based on that, he was the Gadol Ador, Marbitz Torah, in Spain. And when the Shmua came from to Babel, concerning Yitzchak Reish Galuta that died in Sfarad in Cordova Espamia, the Mersukab and Babel, maybe that Shmua that is talking about a different Yitzchak, because Yitzchak and Bibi were common names, and they were Choshesh that the person who was appointed Reish Galuta is not the Yitzchak that they knew, well, a different Yitzchak, and his wife that remained in Babel is not permitted to remarry. Okay, no, I'll get to you in just 8 lines, that's it. Now, Shulanagid and Shuba, he mentions a different tradition that Yitzchak Reish Galuta studied Tamei Talmud of Sfarad, but the Talmud itself he brought to Sfarad was brought to Spain by Rav Natronai, one of the Gaonim, that he came to Spain and he wrote the whole Talmud word for word from memory, he says. Now, in different sources, it's brought down that this Rav Natronai, he left Babel because of Machloket between Rav Malka Reish Galuta, and he fled to Spain. There was Barbit's Torah, he had a lot of Tamidim. Okay, and some say he miraculously came to Spain. Okay, what do you have from Rav Steinsaltz? Let's hear.
Some claim that this individual was actually not the exilarch, and that this was simply his nickname because he was connected to a servant of the exilarch. Others explain that this is not referring to the exilarch in Babylonia at all, but to a man who was an exilarch in the city of Cordova in Spain. There are records of men with similar titles and similar names in several lands, including southern France.
Okay, that's the same thing. Yes, we read the same. Okay, so it's up to a discussion about what this Reish Galuta was all about. Okay, I think now, let me just do a story today. All right, now he has a story here. Okay, now we had that they might have just written Truma on the container for security reasons, like this house is guarded by, you know, whatever, what do they have on the lawns? Oh, you know, like security service. Yeah, but it's not true. In other words, just like, so that's why he may have written on it. So he says, a person once needed to send matzahs abroad. Although he wrote fragile on the boxes, the matzahs were broken when they arrived. Subsequently, the man wrote the word glass on the boxes, and his solution worked. Afterward, a man's friend asked, who said you are permitted to lie in writings in order to safeguard an object? In other words, he wants to transport matzahs, and he found the way he could do it. If he writes glass on the boxes, it gets there safe and sound. The question was presented to Rabbi Yosef Shalom Eliashiv Zitzal, and he permitted the action. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky Zitzal explained Rabbi Yashiv's psak. In Yavamot Kuftev Amabez, we find that even if a barrel is marked Truma, we assume the contents are Hulin, since it was common practice to label a barrel Truma as a means, please, I need everybody's attention, as a means of safeguarding the Hulin contents from thieves. He says, clearly then, there is no prohibition against falsifying the nature of the contents of a container or to safeguard them. Dayan Yaakov Yisrael Fisher's Zitzal dissented, however. although I also permit the action, I rely on a different reasoning. Gemara Yibamot is no proof at all. No one actually marked the vessel filled with chulin with the sign truma. Chulin was merely placed in a vessel which had once contained truma. It was marked appropriately at the time it was originally filled. In our case, the word glass was actually written on boxes containing matzah. Rav Chaim defended his proof, though. What's the difference? The point is that by placing the chulin in a vessel marked as truma, the sender is fooling people into thinking the contents are a truma. Just as writing glass on a box of matzahs fools the handlers into believing that they contain glass. We see from the Gemara this is permitted as long as one does it to protect his property. But Fisher still disagreed. There's no correlation between the two cases. Placing the chulin in a vessel marked truma is a form of shev yal ta'aseh, since the person didn't actually commit a lie to writing. He merely stored one item in a box that had been duly marked when it contained something else. Writing glass on a box of matzah is an overt action I permit because he did not write that the contents are glass. He merely wrote the word glass. Rebbe told us Aaron's itself explained further. The man is merely requesting that he handle his packages like glass. Okay, I got it. Let me talk 1 minute. Oh, again, the today's daf was sponsored by Gabriel Aronoff and his wife Gina on the occasion of the birth of their granddaughter. That's Batsheva Esther and Legala Torah Sponsored Token. Wait, let me just end the recording.